Today, prophets and fruit. This morning, we're moving down the Sermon on the Mount. Those of you that are new with us, maybe new online, new here in the church, guys, it's been a year. It's going to take us a full year to get through the Sermon on the Mount. Started last July. I was looking through my notes recently. I was like, wow, a full year. We're going to be right on the nose. So we're in Matthew 7, 15 through 20. So we're going to spend probably two Sundays here, maybe three, in this section here. So let's read this together. In the name of the Lord. Beware, Jesus says, of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you'll know them by their fruits. Who's them right there, everybody? You know, it's funny we say that, but you know what it actually is? It's prophets. He's telling us to beware of false prophets. The entire thing is actually about prophets. Isn't that funny? Now, obviously, do we know each other by our fruit? Of course we do, right? But the warning here, pay attention to the warning. The warning from Jesus here is about prophets. Anybody ever heard that in all your years in the church? Not me. I was like, read that. I was like, wait a second. He's talking about prophets. Isn't that crazy? So let me lay something down here. First, we are a prophetic church. Our church was birthed 31 years ago by a prophet and his wife. By the way, guys, if you didn't know, Pastor Karen's brother passed away a week ago. 86, just turned 86, he knew the Lord. So obviously there's some sadness and grieving there, but he's with Jesus. And so they're up back in upstate New York. They went up there on Thursday. They're handling things up there with her sister-in-law and things to that nature. So anyway, just keep them in prayer. If you have their info, just please reach out. I spent time with them on Wednesday, brought over some flowers to Pastor Karen from the church and spent a couple hours with them. And if you know Pastor Karen, she's Pastor Karen. She's just plowing through it, you know. She's an amazing woman. So our church, my beloved, was birthed from a prophet, through a prophet. You know, this is not like somebody's like, oh, I think I'm going to start a church in Farmington. Like the Lord said, thus says the Lord, go to this valley. I will show you where to plant this church. All right? And most of you that know Pastor Al, if you've been around Pastor Al for a long time, he is a genuine prophet of the Lord. And I mean a genuine one, like ones that if you're not living right, you probably don't want to hang around him. That's a real prophet. All right, not these flaky ones that just tell you all kinds of good stuff nowadays. Real prophets in the Bible are going to call you out. Can I get amen? So let's lay a little bit of groundwork here. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 and 20 says this. So we have two times in Paul's writings when he talks about ways that we can negatively affect the Holy Spirit flowing in our lives personally and in the church, right? So in Ephesians 4, we're warned not to grieve the Holy Spirit, right? But in 1 Thessalonians, Paul says in verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. Quench the Spirit. So if you think about quenching, what quenching means, if you're really, really thirsty, you take a nice drink of water, you're quenching that thirst. You're getting rid of the thirst, right? If you were to quench a fire, you pour water on it, and it puts the fire out. So what Paul's warning us here, my beloved, is that we can put out the fire of God in our lives. Wow. Now, if you read above it, he talks about pray without ceasing, rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. I think that's right there. But pray without ceasing is definitely there. A few things. But then look at verse 20. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. The Greek word for utterances there is literally gifts. Do not despise prophetic gifts. So what's one of the ways that we can quench the Holy Spirit, we can pour water on the Holy Spirit, is to despise or reject or stay away from the prophetic giftings in the church. Right? So how many people think from what Paul's saying right there that prophecy is pretty important? Can I get amen? Right? I mean, I'm pastoring this church, number one, because I surrendered to the Lord. But it was a prophet that came in this church in 2003 when Pastor Al already had a guy he was training to take the church over. He had this guy lined up, and this is the guy. And this prophet came in, and he said, "Hey, Al, Brother Al, who's that blonde kid and his little wife there?" Pastor, I mean, we've been here less than a year, church. Less than a year we've been here. And this prophet said, "That blonde kid is the next, he is the next pastor of the church. He is your Timothy. He will take the church." Prophet, right? We need this stuff, church. We need prophets in the body of Christ. Can I get amen? So, we're laying that groundwork, right? I want to be clear about this is in no way telling us, you know, I think as I was working on this week, I really felt the Lord saying to me, there's so many churches, so much of the body of Christ, we've got churches that say prophecy is dead. Whole denominations don't even believe in prophecy anymore, right? It died. Dispensationalism. Dispensationalism. Dispensation means a period of time. Dispensationalism is the theology that the Holy Spirit was poured out on the first generations of apostles. It birthed the church, and then the gifts of the Spirit died once those first generation of apostles died. All the gifts are gone. God, that's ridiculous. My goodness gracious. Can I get amen from anybody? I need the Holy Ghost. I'm a mess without him. Man, so are you. Right? We need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Had a call this week from a Christian therapist. So exciting. There's so much going on. It's funny because I see so much growth in our church, but it's not like tangible. You can't put your hands on it. You know what I mean? It's not like, wow, there's 300 people here or whatever. Not yet. You know what I mean? It's growth in the unseen things. Can I get amen? And I'm like, I'm more excited about that than people. I'd like people to come more. But you know what I mean? God is doing something deep, right? This Christian therapist called me. She said a young lady that will be coming to our church very soon, and it's a fabulous story. I'm like, wow, just mind-blowing. Fulfilling prophetic words that have been spoken over this church for decades. We had a lady visit our church a couple Sundays ago, drove by, saw the sign. You know how many times we've been prophesied over? People will drive by, see the sign, and pull in? It happened 2 weeks ago. Amen. Church, we got to believe. So let's dig through this. Let's dig through this. The warning from Jesus, and again, think about the context of the warning. It's in the Sermon on the Mount, which is a sermon teaching us how to build a good foundation. All right, so part of our foundation, part of becoming a stable, mature Christian who can handle the storms of life is to be able to determine if this prophet is true or not. Amen. Beware, Jesus says, of false prophets. Beware, be careful, be watchful. And then he describes them. He says, these prophets, these false prophets will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Ravenous wolves, right? The Greek word for false prophets here, I was like, wow, looked it up. I said, oh my goodness. So it's pseudo, one word, pseudo prophetes. And P-S-E-U-D-O, and then it's basically just prophets, right, in the Greek. Pseudo prophets. And if we've all heard, I think we've all understand concept of pseudo. If you say somebody's a pseudo this or pseudo that, it means fake or not real. So this one, this Greek word literally means false or lying prophet. If you know scriptures at all, especially in the Old Testament, man, the Old Testament is packed full of lying prophets, right? False prophets, and they're coming and saying, "Thus says the Lord," and they're prophesying all kinds of stuff. And then one prophet stands up, and he's like, "Yeah, nope. Here's what the Lord actually says." And you know what? 99 times out of 100, whatever the real prophet's saying is way harder than whatever the false ones are saying. There's a pastor out of like Kentucky or something. I don't know if y'all saw this. I think I talked about it, but it was last year sometime. This guy had a dream like 2 years ago. Vivid dream. Pastor's a small church. Nobody's ever heard of this guy. But he had a dream, and this dream had something to do with President Trump and various things. And he woke up, like, really vivid dream. He woke up, wrote it all down, and he's like, "Man, this is crazy." Didn't say anything. And then like 2 years later, he must have had this first dream like maybe 5 or 6 years ago. It was about Trump winning the presidency and then various things happening. And you know, whatever. So he just says, I didn't do anything. But then there was all these other things that happened. He saw in the dream, he saw people wearing masks. He saw like a calendar, and there was a finger hit this calendar, January, February, March. And on March, it like the finger taps. And then in the dream, he sees people wearing masks and people staying home and people like weird stuff, you know? And then COVID hits in March 2019, right? I don't know how many years we've been in this ridiculous stuff. 20, right? See what I'm saying? So he has this dream literally happens, you know? And then he has a second dream. And in the second dream, he sees like the end of 2020 into 21 on the calendar. And he sees UN military troops on U.S. soil, Chinese troops on U.S. soil. He says, President Trump is gone. He says, I don't know where he is, but he's not in the dream. And he says, it is chaos. In the first dream, he saw the rioting that happened from the George Floyd situation. He saw that in the dream. He didn't know what it was. So in the second dream, he saw entire cities burning to the ground and all this stuff. So this guy ended up sharing. He shared the second dream because he said the first one happened. He's like, now I got the second one. I'm like, dude. He's like, I hope it doesn't happen. You know what's crazy? Some of the established prophetic ministries in the country rebuked this guy. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I don't know about you, but you had one dream that came to pass that accurately? I would suggest maybe we should maybe like at least put that one on the back burner on simmer. Just because it's uncomfortable. I mean, my goodness, who wants that to happen? But church, read your Bible. There's lots of stuff has already happened, and the Bible says it's going to happen. That does not sound very pleasant. Can I get amen? Think about this. If someone, how many of us know people who just lie all the time? Like, how many of you have done that? Oh, like nobody puts their hand. Oh, come on, there's a few brave people. For sure. Not anymore. For sure. There was a time in my life where I lied. I didn't know I was lying. I lied so much. That's what they tell you. When you start lying, you got to tell lies to cover up your lies. You don't even know where you started with the lie. Right? I just said, I'm going to tell the truth, man. Oh, I don't got to remember what I said if I tell the truth. Right? Plus, the Lord's watching, and it doesn't work out so great. But if we know somebody who's a liar, somebody who's deceitful, the thing about it is, like, if I'm going to lie to you, I don't want you to know I'm lying to you. I want you to think I'm telling you the truth. That's the whole concept of lying. To deceive somebody is making them think that you're being honest, and you're telling them the right thing, but you're telling them the wrong thing. You don't want them to know it. Right? If we know somebody's lying to us, hey, thus says the Lord, you can breathe underwater. We'd be like, no, probably not. Thus says the Lord, jump out of a plane, you can fly. Probably not. Right? See, if we know it's like real, like weird stuff like that, we'd be like, well, dude, obviously. But here's the thing, church, I'm just going to be really straight right here. I am concerned, highly concerned, with some of the prophetic movements in the last 10 years that have risen up. There's a lot of prophetic movements. Some of them, I think, are powerful and moving, and some, I think, are missing it, because here's the thing. I have seen people that have been in this congregation that have fallen away and have gotten their lives in trouble because they go to all these prophetic conferences, and all they hear about is God's going to fill your dreams, your dreams, your dreams, 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 and there's nothing about get your life straightened out, stop doing this, start doing this, stop sinning, stop being selfish. There's nothing of this in some of these prophetic movements. Garbage. And you know what's going to happen to those prophetic movements? If they do not repent, the Lord will judge it. The Lord will judge it. He will allow that for just so long. Look, should we tell people God has great plans for you and God's going to do? Of course, absolutely, without a question. Should we use and tell people, like, use that kind of a thing, man? Look, God wants to bless your life. Of course he does. But not if you keep living the way you've always lived and doing what you've always done. God will not bless that. Can I get amen? Something else I saw is kind of interesting here. I don't know if you guys are, see if you pick this up. Little stuff here, but it's important. Jesus says that these false prophets will come in sheep's clothing, right? Everybody say sheep's clothing. Notice he doesn't say shepherd's clothing. He doesn't say shepherd's clothing. See, we're so, I think, I had the weirdest, like, in a good way, I've had just the weirdest week, man, because, like, even the song I shared this morning about that new song about the gates of hell won't prevail against it, like, we're literally sitting in the parking lot, listening to this truck, I'm crying, and I feel like the Spirit of God saying to me, son, you don't recognize the gates of hell. You know, we're looking for some big, like, thing that's on fire, and there's demons running through it, and we're like, that's got to be it over there. And he's like, nah. He's like, demons are everywhere, and they're sneaky, and they're subtle, and they don't want to be recognized. But the gates of hell will not prevail, right? They won't prevail. We're pushing back against it. Can I get amen? All right? Jesus' warning here, church, not they will come in shepherd's clothing, but like sheep. Among us, we're always looking for, like, oh, look at that leader. He's got to be a false prophet. Hiding in the baggage. Yeah, they're just hanging out. Right? I think we're so hung up in, like, oh, well, maybe that prophet, that one, that famous prophet, that one that travels all the way, he must be a false prophet. I don't know if that's what Jesus is getting at right here. I think he's saying, man, we've got to be careful. It's not just the big name prophets that might be telling us lies. It could be just normal folks, just other sheep. Inwardly, right, meaning in the inner man, they are ravenous wolves. The Greek word here for ravenous can be translated a few different ways. Here's the first word. I didn't know what this word meant. I looked it up, but rapacious. Rapacious, R-A-P-A-C-I-O-U-S, rapacious, which is this. Now, we'll all recognize this. Given to seizing for plunder or the satisfaction of greed. Inordinately greedy, predatory, or extortionate. Rapacious. Right, so you think if you're a ravenous wolf, that's the description, right? You're like, is the word ravished? Is that, it's like famished, but ravished? Is that the right word? Like, you're just super hungry and you just can eat everything? These are wolves that are coming to devour the sheep. Let me touch on something here, because when I get ready to take the church over, I'm coming up on 10 years, everybody. This June is 10 years I've been pastoring here. I called a good friend of mine, pastor for a long time, and I said, hey, bro, you got a word for me. I'm getting ready to step in as the pastor of the church. He goes, yeah, man. He says, go read Ezekiel 34. I was like, great. Thank you so much. Anybody know what Ezekiel 34 says? It's not very pleasant. It's a stark warning to shepherds who devour their sheep. And I read that and I texted him back. I was like, I thought we were friends, bro. But I knew we were. It was a warning from a friend and from the Lord. You know, this is no joke what you're going to do. But what's crazy, if you think about this, I'm tying in a little point here. I think it's 34, pretty sure. But if you read Ezekiel 34, the warning, one of the big warnings there is he says, you are taking wool from the sheep and you're killing the fat sheep and all these things. And he said, but here's the word, he says, without making sure the sheep are healthy. I'm paraphrasing it, but you see what I'm saying. Think about in Jewish culture, everybody, or nowadays, if you're a farmer, right? If you're a farmer and you own flocks, you live off of the flock, right? Shepherds lived. They would shave the wool off the sheep and various things. They got their living off of taking care of the sheep. You understand what I'm saying? Are you catching the metaphor? Is there anything wrong as long as the church can do it to support the pastor and pay the pastor? No, I think the Bible says we should do that. Right? Before I was ever thought about being a pastor, I was like, no problem. I was shocked when pastors didn't get paid to pastor a church. I was like, shouldn't they get paid to do that? Right? But the warning in the Bible is if the pastor, the shepherd, or now this false prophet is doing so and abusing the sheep and taking advantage of the sheep and not pouring his life out for the sheep and laying his life down to make sure the sheep are healthy and strong and are moving forward, the Lord says, that is not okay. Can I get amen? Another way that ravenous can be translated from the Greek word swindler. A swindler. To seize, this word means to seize, to catch up, or to snatch away, right? What do wolves do? They're going to run in and grab something, right? Church, I've seen it right here in our congregation. People get looking at something, listening to something. We had a family here, amazing, great family. We were heartbroken when they left, but they got caught up in some teaching. Brought it to me, brought it to Pastor Al. We sat down and said, bro, this is wrong, man. This is wrong. Wrong. And initially they said, I'd love to talk to you about this when you know, Pastor, I want you to look at this. I'd love to talk. But as soon as I suggested what they were looking at was wrong, here came this prideful, arrogant, you can't tell me what to do. And I said, you're right. I cannot. So, you know, I hope you figure it out, my brother. I really do. That is how I left that. Man, I'm heartbroken that this is what you've chosen to do. Heartbroken. Completely deceptive. I have never seen, with this family got caught up in, my beloved, I have never seen a false prophet and a false teacher twist the word of God as badly as this particular man. Unbelievable stuff. Shocking to me. And that someone who's been a Christian for 20 years would buy it. But it's happening all over the place. We're listening to things that what? Tickle our ears. Make me feel good. Sign of the end times. In the end times, people will what? Not listen to sound doctrine. Wow. 2 Corinthians Chapter 11. Is this all right? It's good teaching right here. We need to hear it. Turn to 2 Corinthians 11. As you turn there, they're getting up on the screen. Think about this. This behavior, okay, these people are going to try to actually pull sheep away, not just from the church, but they're going to try to pull sheep away from other sheep. You know what I mean? Like, it's manipulation. We had a young lady here years ago. She got married, moved away. Awesome. Awesome. Another awesome young lady. But she just really had a lot of baggage from church and being hurt in church and various things. And I remember one time she started getting involved in leadership, and she calls me one day and she says, hey, Pastor, I'm not going to be at church on Sunday. I was like, okay. See you next week. She's like, what do you mean? I was like, what do you mean? What do I mean? Like, I'll see you next Sunday. She goes, you're not mad that I'm not going to be at church? I was like, not even a little bit. We had a 20-minute conversation where she felt guilty about not being in church one Sunday because she, like, I don't even know where she went. I don't even care. Whatever. Dude, my goodness gracious, if you feel in your heart that it's okay to go do that one Sunday, once in a while, church, I'll be honest with you, I like to skip church once in a while. I'm the pastor, man. I can't. They don't let me do that. You know what I mean? But it was just so crazy. Church baggage, religious garbage, that this young lady, I said, come on, get free, man. Get free. Bad teaching. Can I get amen? See, the devil is the master liar, the master faker, the master manipulator, the master trickster. 2 Corinthians 11, look what he says. Paul says, but what I'm doing, I'll continue to do. I would encourage you to read 2 Corinthians 11. Read the whole thing. I didn't put it all in here today for sake of time. He says, what I'm doing, I will continue to do so that I may cut off opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which they are boasting. Again, read this in context. Paul's saying there's people that are saying that they're like me, but he says they're not like me. I'm cutting that off. Right? Such men are false prophets, false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder. Look at verse 14. For even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. Think about this, my beloved. What Jesus is saying, what Paul is saying, is that there will be people that will be in our midst, that are serving the devil. And we will not know it unless we have discernment. We've been talking about discernment on Bible studies on Tuesday night. Knowledge, discernment, insight, wisdom. Can I get amen? Let's keep digging here. We need to understand something about the enemy, because the truth is that false prophets are literally serving the devil. Look, church, we don't like this. I don't like it. All right, I don't like this. But Jesus says, you're for me or you are against me. I am building kingdom. I'm building his kingdom, or I'm building the other one. That's it. Tell someone who's not a Christian in America that, man, you want to get in a fight. You'll get one quick. Right? Tell someone they're serving the devil. You're serving the devil. What are you talking about? I'm a good person. Didn't say you weren't. I said you're serving the devil. We don't recognize the gates of hell. Someone that says I'm a good person and doesn't want to follow Jesus is stuck behind the gates of hell. Deceived, lost, broken. We need discernment. How do I bust those gates open and rescue them? Right? The devil's preferred method of operation, my beloved, is to hide in the shadows. Twist truth just enough so it still sounds like truth, but it's not. So I have two main concerns. I shared one already. We're going to expound on that first one about the prophetic, you know, some of the prophetic movements in our country. I'm going to give a preacher here by name because it's a good one. If you guys, anybody heard of Todd White? I think many of you heard of Todd White. If you don't know Todd White, I'd encourage you to look up some Todd White stuff. He got famous when they did the Holy Ghost movies. Remember those Holy Ghost documentaries a few years ago? Todd White's got these huge dreadlocks. Man, the guy, fascinating story of his life and getting saved. And he's very, He got on the scene for being very powerful minister, healing, deliverance, these kinds of things. And that's fine. I'm like, cool, we need that. But you know what? I said, I want to hear this guy's doctrine. So I started digging around, and I found some of his preaching online. I was like, this guy is preaching straight fire. I was like, amen, bro. Amen. Because I've seen so many folks that are walking in this power, you know, laying hands on sick people that get better, prophesying, casting demons out, all the kinds of weird stuff. And their doctrine is disgusting. It is awful. It's awful. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't care what you're doing. Your doctrine is terrible. You're leading people straight to the pit of hell. And they don't know it. I'm going to show you something in a minute. Is this all right? Let's go to 2 Peter 2. We're going to dig in this one just a little bit. We're going to end right in here, 2 Peter 2 today. I'll be done by 2 o'clock. No problem. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. So I'm going to give you a little insight. We're going to go into 2 Peter 1 next week. 2 Peter 2 starts with but in verse 1, okay, meaning that he's still continuing a thought, but we're not backing up today. But false prophets, everybody say false prophets. False prophets also arose among the people. Listen to the phrasing. Also arose among the people. Past tense, right? Just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, these false teachers, false prophets, the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed, ravenous wolves. In their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle. Oh my goodness gracious, what does that mean? I don't know, but it doesn't sound good. Their judgment from long ago is not idle. And their destruction is not asleep. Wow. A prophet here, from the Greek word, is defined as either an interpreter or a foreteller of the divine will of God. That's straight off my Bible software. A prophet is either an interpreter or a foreteller of the divine will of God. That's from the Greek word. All right, so think about it like this. A prophet is either going to interpret what has happened or what is happening, right? Prophetically, right? So we can see, you know, politics, social justice, that all this junk that we're getting pressured to buy into. Tell how many Christians have attacked me on Facebook because I will not buy into some of these social justice movements. You cannot fix social justice without the gospel. It's not going to happen. You know who else they tried? You know who else in the Bible they tried pressuring into social justice issues? Jesus. And every time he stuck away. I'm going to fix this, but not the way you want me to. You can't fix this without fixing this. I love some people say it's not a skin problem, it's a sin problem. Truth. So, a prophet, a real prophet, is either going to be able to interpret past and current events from a prophetic understanding, right? We can all see politics, Democrats, Republicans, did it, whatever. We can all see social justice, okay? Whatever the various social justice things that are going on right now are catching traction in the news. Everybody can see that. A prophet will see beyond what everyone else can see and say, here's what's going on in the spirit realm. Here's what happened here. Here's what happened here. Here's what's currently happening right now. This is what's going on. Can I get amen? It will enable us, a real prophet will enable us to step away from all the snares of the devil and all this other junk that he's trying to get us to focus on and waste our time and our energy and our emotional energy and our prayer time, all this other garbage, right? We're praying about all this stuff and God's like, dude, no, over here, you don't even see this. Look over here. That's the root of it. Go after that. or a prophet will foretell in the future, here's what God is going to do. Now, those ones are a little trickier because if they're telling the truth, it's got to happen. Can I get amen? Right? So that gets real sticky because if I give this young lady a prophecy, you know what she's got to do? She's got to agree with it. She's got to seek the Lord about what she's got to do to participate with it. So if I prophesy over her, I could prophesy straight from the throne room of God. If she doesn't receive it properly, it's not my fault. Can I get amen? In other words, the true prophet should be able to both effectively predict future events under the unction of the Holy Ghost and give heavenly insight and perspective to current events. A teacher, so we got false prophets, false teachers, right? So a good prophet, that's what a good prophet does. So what would a false prophet do is not do those things properly. Can I get amen? A teacher, from Peter's suggestions here, is defined straight from the Bible here as simply an instructor. So think about this, church, what I'm seeing. If we have a prophets, what? Apostles, prophets, fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Right? Two of the fivefold ministry. A prophet should be in the body of Christ, in the church, right? Not just a church, but the church, the body of Christ. A prophet should be telling us what happened, what's happening, what's going to happen at some point, right? And a teacher is who grabs onto what the prophets are revealing and says, here's how we work this out. Here's the steps we need to take, right? Here's what's happening. Here's what's going to happen. Now let's bring it back to the Word of God. Find this in the Scriptures, right? What did something like this already happen? Can we pull it out of the Word of God? How do we make this work? You know what? So many people that are running all over the God's green earth looking for the next prophetic word, you know who they don't want to talk to? Is teachers. Don't tell me what I have to do. I'm just looking for my next word. You know, the last time that I started looking for another word from the Lord, you know what he said to me? What'd you do with the last one I gave you? I was like, well, nothing, obviously. So, give me another one. But church, we do that. Man, the body of Christ is packed full of Christians like that. You know, I need another word. Do something with what you got. They agree with it out there, apparently. Praise the Lord. Talking about prophets, though. Almost done. You guys are going to like this so much. You're not going to like it, but you're going to like it. This is I've never studied false prophets. It is massive. I was shocked how much the Bible talks about false prophets. It's crazy. But look at this. Matthew 24:24. Two more passages of Scripture. We're done. Jesus. This is also in Mark's gospel, exactly worded exactly the same way. Matthew 24:24 says this. For false Christs and what? False prophets will arise. So Peter says that they arose already. Jesus into the future, false Christs and false prophets will arise. And do what, church? Keep going. Oh. To mislead, if possible. There's the good phrase. If possible, even the elect. How many people read that passage and find it alarming? We should. Right? This one's confused me for years. I'm like, what? I don't get it. Like, why? So they're not, these false Christs and false prophets, my beloved, are not like, you know, they're not doing something that's demonic to the surface. Right? They're doing something. The only way you're going to deceive the elect. This is not baby Christians that they're going to deceive. They're going to deceive seasoned Christians, people who have walked with the Lord for decades and decades, people who are leaders in the church, people who are who have discipled others and birthed churches, all kinds of stuff. Can I get amen? This is who he's talking about. He says, yeah, I'll go after the little ones too. They're a piece of cake. But he says, I'm going after the seasoned ones. If I take some leaders out, guess what? Strike the shepherd and the sheep scatter. I just saw another article recently, another big-time pastor stepping down, cheated on his wife. I just like, my goodness gracious, what is going on? We gotta get some stuff cleaned up in the church, man. Right? Like, look, man, Joseph with Potiphar. I'm sure Potiphar was, Potiphar's, not Potiphar, yikes, Potiphar's wife. Yikes. Whoa, that's a different version of that story. I'm sure Potiphar's wife was pretty smoking. All right, I'm just saying. He's a wealthy guy, lots of money, and Joseph was probably a good-looking dude, probably looked like Fabio or something, I don't know. But she finds him, pulls him aside. She's like, hey, lay with me. And what does he say? I cannot do this great wickedness and sin against the Lord. He fears God. Holy Spirit was with him. But church, you know what? You know what? We don't hear enough prophetically anymore. Fear the Lord. Fear him. We don't hear it. Oh, God loves you, brother. Yes, he does. Now learn how to fear him. There is not a scripture in the Bible. I've said this so many times. I'm going to keep saying it because I'm not just preaching to y'all and y'all on Facebook. All right? We're releasing stuff into the atmosphere. Right? Can I get an amen, church? We got to get away from this wishy-washy garbage. It's not helping anybody. Not a scripture in the Bible that says that me loving God is going to help me stop sinning. Not one. Doesn't exist. There's plenty that says when I fear God, it will keep me from sinning. Because if I go on willfully sinning after coming to knowledge of the truth, there is no more sacrifice for my sin, but a fearful expectation of judgment. We need to be afraid of God. He loves you, oh my goodness. But we need to fear him too. Where are the prophets rising up with that message? Especially, my beloved, we're in the end times. We could be literally in that 7 years in the book of Revelation. We could be in it right now. Where are the prophets rising up and saying, get right with God? Playtime's over. Can I get amen? I'm going to show you what's going on in Matthew 24:24. You guys ready? Deuteronomy chapter 12. Got some reading here. Definitely done by two. Absolutely, without question. We got pizzas coming. You guys there? Now look at, I'm going to lace, I'm gonna read a paragraph that's after this in my notes before I read this. Here's some more really bad doctrine that we've got to get out. I don't think we believe this. If any of you believe this, please get this out of your spirit. All right? There are pastors, huge church pastors, that preach that God is different in the Old Testament and the New Testament. They don't actually say that. They don't say it. But the way that they talk about it is like God is like this big, huge, like raw, he's angry and mean in the Old Testament. And then Jesus comes and now God's like, you know, ha la 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 la, da da da, you know, he's woohoo, he's walking around with a latte in his hand or something. I don't know. Dude, no. Garbage. That's awful. That's absolutely horrid theology. All right, first of all, God is not angry in the Old Testament. Read it. He's not. He is incredibly merciful in the Old Testament. He is patient and kind. And he's not some spineless, you know, sap. like in the New Testament, garbage. It's awful. You know why Jesus hung on a cross? Why he was whipped and beaten on the cross? Because that's what needed to happen to satisfy God's wrath. What I deserved it. Tell Christians that today. We don't like to hear that stuff. It's truth. Can I get amen? So, my beloved, as we read this section of Deuteronomy, we've got to understand God has not changed. He does not change. If we're serving a God who's changed, it's not God. Look, either Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, or he's not. Either God says in the book of Malachi, I am the Lord, I do not change. I do not change. Right? I don't want to serve a God who changes. How do I rely on something that's changing? Right? If I know something makes him mad, I want it to always make him mad because I know it. If something makes him happy, I want to know that he's always going to feel good when I do this. Praise God. That, you know what I'm saying. Deuteronomy 12. You guys ready for this? When the Lord your God cuts off before you the nations which you are going into dispossess, and you dispossess them and dwell in their land. What's the land he's talking about right here, church? The promised land. Amen. Beware. Everybody say beware. I saw something recently. I don't know if I shared this with you guys. Oswald Chambers, he says, the devil never warns and God never threatens. You know what God does? He warns us. Don't do that. Right? We're getting a warning here. He says, look, when you get in this land, I promised you, verse 30, beware that you're not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? That I also may do likewise. You should not behave thus toward the Lord your God, for every abominable act which the Lord hates, they have done for their gods. For they even burn their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, you shall be careful to do. You shall not add to it nor take away from it. Next chapter, verse 1. Just skip the chapter break. Or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a what? What happens in Matthew 24? False prophets and false Christ will arise and show you signs and wonders. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes true, concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, whom you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you. See you next Sunday. The Lord your God is testing you. I preached a sermon here one time years ago about God testing Abraham with Isaac. I had some seasoned Christians were upset with me about that. God doesn't test us. You must know a different Jesus than I know then, because he's testing me all the time. Can I get amen? You want to know how you know somebody, you can trust somebody with more authority? We do it with our children, right? We want to throw our kids the keys. What do? We test them. Are you mature enough to handle this responsibility? How do you get promoted at work? You get tested. It happens all the time, church. Why do we not think it happens in the kingdom? Parable of the talents, 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. You know what it is? It's a test. Are you going to be responsible with what I gave you? You know what those talents, you know how much those talents matter to the master in that story? Not at all. He doesn't care one thing about them. He couldn't care less. He could not care less about it. It's a test. It doesn't matter to him. It's a test. Are you going to handle you're going to handle what I gave you to handle. You know what's the most jacked up thing about that story of the parable? Talents? The master doesn't tell them what to do. He just gives it to them. It's like that prophet, the king comes in with the prophet, and he's going to go fight the thing, and the prophet says, hey, strike the ground with the arrows. Not how many times. Strike the ground. And he's like, strike. Okay. And the prophet's like, you should have struck more than three times. And he's like, wait, what? You just said hit it. You didn't say how many times. Sometimes I don't like God all that much. And he says, because you didn't strike it more than three times, you will not gain a victory. You're like, what a messed up story that is, man. How many times am I supposed to strike the arrow on the ground all day long? I mean, maybe it's we're supposed to go until God says, okay, that's enough. I said strike the ground. I didn't say strike the ground so many times. I said strike the ground. Just do it till I say stop. Simon didn't say. Look at this, church. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. That sounds familiar to me. First commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Verse 4, Deuteronomy chapter 30, you shall follow the Lord your God and fear him. Keep his commandments. Listen to his voice. And cling to him. You know what, church? We've got to get this thing out of our head that God's goal is to make our life comfortable. It's not. I'm glad when I have seasons of comfort. And if you're in a season of comfort, I encourage you to get charged up and prayed up and take advantage of it, because a storm is coming. If you don't get ready, you will not make it. Verse 5, that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he's counseled rebellion against the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt. Church, let's just think about that phrase. What's that a metaphor? Brought you to the land of Egypt. Make it New Testament. What is he saying? You got saved. You got rescued from the world. He's saying, look it, this person is trying to get you, this false prophet is trying to get you to turn from your salvation. Turn from the Lord who saved you. Right? Took you out of the land of Egypt and that redeemed you from the house of slavery. Slavery to what? Slavery to sin. To seduce you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall purge the evil from among you. Think about this, my beloved. See, this makes me feel good in a weird, not like good in my flesh, like, wow, that feels great. In my spirit, it makes me feel strong. Because what God is saying here, God is saying, I am so powerful and I am in such control and I'm so sovereign that I will allow a demon-serving prophet to bring a lying sign and wonder before you to test your heart to see where you are. I am in so much control. I control what even demons do. How many people are like, Christians? I guarantee you, there's some Christians, if they hear this, they'd be like, this guy's a heretic. Dude, look, I heard a sermon from a preacher years ago. I listened to it for 6 months straight, every single day, four times a day in my truck, every single day. And this guy's whole sermon was about the sovereignty of God. God is in control. There's not a demon that does something that God's like, oh my gosh, I didn't say that. Oh no. You know, Pastor, what are you saying? You're saying that, you know, if something bad happens to me, God's in control. That's exactly what I'm saying. You know, and I guarantee you, the people are like, oh, that's so mean, that's so cool, don't you care, don't you care? Yes, I care. I care about the eternal salvation of your soul. That's what I care about. Church, look, I can't promise you that you're going to get to heaven and it's going to be easy sailing. I don't know. Maybe it's going to be fairly easy for some of us. Maybe not for somebody else. I don't know. Not my call. I'm not God. What I can say is I want to tell you what the Bible says, that if it is God's will for you to suffer, right in First in Peter's writings, if it's the Lord's will for you to suffer, he says, here's how to do it. Can I get amen? You know the people I love? We got folks right in our congregation now have been through hell and back and still standing. Still saying, God, you've been so good. All my days you've been good. I like those people. I like those people have had plenty of opportunity to turn their back and be like, I didn't sign up for this garbage. Shake their fist at God. I would never shake my fist at God. Strike me dead. That scares me, honestly. I'm terrified of that. Can I get amen? Almost done. Let's stand up right here. I'm done right here. Jesus' name. First closing of four. According to the scriptures here, the Lord, look at the church, the Lord will at the very least allow, everybody say allow. He'll at least allow it, false prophets and dreamers to perform what Jesus said is a lying sign and wonder. Looks like kingdom, smells like kingdom, tastes like kingdom, not kingdom. And he says, right, going back to Matthew 7, we're supposed to test these prophets by how? By their fruit. You know what the fruit is, my beloved? Their doctrine. I don't care if somebody raises someone from the dead. If their doctrine is not pointing us to repentance, to humility, to holiness, to preferring our brothers, neighbors, brothers and sisters above ourselves, to generosity, to exalting the name of Jesus Christ, the name of everything, I don't care how powerful that person is, they are a false prophet. That's the word of God. I'm telling you, I believe that we are going to have a season coming where there's going to be lots of power. We're going to see lots of it. And a lot of it is going to be aimed at deceiving the elect, to turn away from the real gospel. Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we did want to be numbered among those who are deceived. But God, we don't want to walk in fear either. The Apostle Paul says, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophetic gifts. The very next verse, which I didn't say, he says, receive everything and cleave to what's good. God, we receive right now that discernment of the Holy Ghost. And you know how we gain discernment, church? It's not mystical. You get discernment by reading your Bible. By reading your Bible, if the Holy Spirit is moving through a vessel and performing signs and wonders, they will not violate the Word of God with their doctrine. They will not do it. If they violate the Scriptures, they are from the devil. I don't care how powerful they seem. That's the truth. God, we don't want to be deceived. We, Lord, are receiving right now, Father, discipline from the Spirit of God to get into the Scriptures on our own. Church, I'm telling you, go research. I hope that you go home and read what I tell you to test me. Maybe this guy's off his rails today. God, we should not just receive everything and be like, oh, that was great. We need to test it. Test the spirits. Lord, we thank you for making this church a prophetic church. We thank you for birthing this church prophetically. God, I decree and declare right now that the prophetic anointing will return to this house in a powerful way, God. That it will rise up from the ashes, oh God. That it will rise up from its state of slumber, Father. God, that Lord, the Spirit of God, the anointing, the corporate call for this house, God, that has lied in the shadows, Father, that has lied on the side, Father. We call it forth right now, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God. The anointing of the Most High God, Father, that once again this house will rise up, oh God, as a prophetic light, God, as a prophetic, Lord, a lighthouse, Father, shining out into the storms, God, saying, look, here is safe harbor. Here is a place where you will find truth. Here is a place where you will find freedom. Here is a place where you will find deliverance. Here is a place where you will find healing. Here is a place where you will find love. Here is the place where you will find the kingdom of the Most High God. I want you to repeat this after me. Say, I will not be deceived. I will not be deceived. Father, we humbly bow our hearts before you, and we decree and declare over our own hearts, God, your word is truth. No matter what everyone says, if everyone says that we're lying, we know that you're the truth. Lord, I thank you this morning, and maybe we'll spend one more week in this topic. Lord, I thank you for getting this particular stone in our foundation so that our house will stand up when the storm comes. In Jesus' name, guys, have an awesome week. If you need prayer for anything, come on up. Love to pray for you. Facebook and YouTube, blessings on you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Guys, we love you all so much. And Tuesday night, Zoom link will be going out. We're Bible study. We'd love to have you. Man, we're having a great time. Proverbs 3 this Tuesday. And Wednesday night, we'll be here for prayer. Amen. Have an awesome, awesome week in Jesus' name. Bless you.